Black Rifle Coffee Company set out on a mission to make the best cup of coffee that's ever hit your mug. And I think they've hit that mission straight on. Their dream has been to sell enough premium coffee to build a support network for veterans, first responders, and law enforcement. And thanks to your support, that dream has come true. Black Rifle Coffee is roasted by a veteran-led team of brilliant coffee graders who work tirelessly to roast and bag the highest quality coffee here in America. And the coffee is truly one of a kind and my favorite. Your support has helped Black Rifle Coffee Company expand their team of active duty service members, veterans, and veteran family members. And they were able to donate over 120,000 bags of coffee to veterans and first responders in 2022. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and use my code Dana at checkout for 20% off your purchase and your first coffee club order. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Use code Dana and also look for Black Rifle Coffee in grocery and convenience stores. Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee.
Do you have any reaction in Florida, Governor DeSantis expanding the rules that forbid classroom instruction on sexual orientation and gender identity?
Yeah, it's wrong. It's completely, utterly wrong. And we've been very crystal clear about that when it comes to the Don't Say Gay bill and other actions that this governor has taken in the state of Florida. But make no mistake, this is a part of a disturbing and dangerous trend that we're seeing across the country of legislations that are anti-LGBTQI+, anti-trans, anti-the community in a way that we have not seen it in some time. And it's not just the LGBTQI+ community. We're talking about students. We're talking about educators. We're talking about just individuals.
Golly, there's the ongoing debate with the schools. There's a lot of stuff to hit today. Welcome to the program. You're completely overwhelmed, curmudgeon, running around, doing everything. Because it's this, it's the... There are a number of things that are happening that are huge domestically and huge with regard to foreign policy. And everything deserves equal attention, but I worry. I'm like, do we have the bandwidth as a nation for all of it? And it's really a challenge because when you have a government that's too big that's involved in it. Well, I don't know why she's talking about this. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash here with you, the top of our first hour here this Thursday. And the ongoing, let me start with this. Because I have a couple of really insane headlines as it relates to what the government is now choosing to get involved in while everything else is going nuts, right? So we've got that. And then we have the TikTok hearings today as well. And then you have the Alvin Bragg, the grand jury's been canceled for the week. I think this is because they absolutely are not able to get felony charges. That's what I think. I think it's because they can't get felony charges. That's why this is happening. Don't you agree? Because I have no idea why else they would be having such a hard time with this. I mean, this was supposed to be coming out this week, right? And now it may never. So that's kind of the latest with that. We thought they said stand by for today. So we have a bunch of things that are coming out. And I want to go back because I sent this out. Let me pull up our newsletter. I sent this newsletter out to all of our listeners, right? All the subscribers over at Substack. And I was tweeting about this as well. So this week alone, just this week. So while you have Karine Jean-Pierre, who is answering questions about what Florida schools are doing and what parents choose to do in Florida schools, which I have no idea why that is germane to her. While that's happening, while you have the president of the United States who was meeting with, who's giving medals to Bruce Springsteen, a whole bunch of other people, he's going to be in Delaware all weekend. We know that much. While all of that was happening, we had, you know, as we've talked about, the whole week of Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin meeting in Moscow. And there are two huge, huge things that have happened that should cause you to worry. The first of which is you have the petrodollar, We kind of talked about this yesterday. It was like in our third hour. So Vladimir Putin has announced that they've agreed, as they're doing business with Asia and Africa and Latin America, they're going to use the yuan, the Chinese currency, their dollar. So breaking, therefore, the petrodollar. That was announced. Secondly, there was the announcement that came also this week that China brokered a deal between two mortal enemies, Saudi Arabia and Iran, to normalize relations. This is also incredibly significant because the United States is kind of out on the sidelines on that. So I just want you to kind of sit back and take some inventory of the things that I just said to you. And then there was audio yesterday that came out. And it was of John Kirby. And I tweeted about this last night. It was about John Kirby, who was saying that, you know, it's we're going to be focused, our core component. We talked about this yesterday, too, of our foreign policy is going to be on the alphabet people, the LGBTQ+. So while all of this is happening, you have John Kirby, National Security Council, saying that. And then, oh, because it gets crazier, from the Department of Defense, Pentagon doctors claim 7-year-olds can make decisions to be injected with hormones and puberty suppressants. What? To tie in KJP. Health providers at U.S. military bases, some of whom are involved in treating military-connected minors, blasted the idea of waiting before injecting kids diagnosed with gender dysphoria and puberty blockers and hormones. The DOD provider said in the March edition of the American Journal of Public Health that the only pathway for blah, 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 blah. Why are DOD getting involved in this? I mean, are you trying to create like a eunuch army? What are you trying to do here? This is what they're focusing on. I just gave you two huge headlines with regard to foreign policy and how incredibly important it is for us to be focusing on preparedness, etc. And then here is actually what the military is like focusing on. You can't make this stuff up. So now you see it's incredibly disheartening. It's concerning because you feel like they're not focused at all whatsoever on preparedness. Why are they even focusing on this issue? I mean, this is two huge things happening this week regarding foreign policy. Challenging the dominance of the dollar. All of this brought on by super weak leadership out of D.C. And they're focusing on this. That's what they're focusing on. The more I talk about it, the angrier I get. Because this is, you wonder why recruitment's down. They've announced that they are, here, Russia is using the yuan with Asia, Africa, Latin America. Oh, by the way, remember, we talked about this with Stephen Yates. They upped their military spending. What is it of their, almost 8% of their GDP now, right? A major increase from 2019. Forgot to add that. But we talked about that earlier this week. And then they brokered a deal between Saudi Arabia and Iran to normalize relations, leaving the U.S. on the sidelines. And our DOD is focused on sex changes for 7-year-olds. Do you feel confident? So that's what they're focused on. That is incredibly important as well. All of this. I think these are some of the biggest sound bites, or some of the biggest headlines, rather, that have taken place just this week. And you don't really hear, did you guys hear anything about it on like CNN, MSNBC? Did you hear anything about any of the stuff going on in Moscow? It's almost like they kind of ignored it, didn't they? Mm-hmm. It's like they ignored it. So we're going to break that down further later on in the program and get into all of that. I have a bunch of, we're going to get into woke, we've got cultural stuff, et cetera, et cetera. 2024. We have coming on later in the program, Nikki Haley, who's going to be joining us, what, in our second hour. She's going to be joining us in our second hour. She's obviously, as you know, she's running for president. I think everybody's starting to make the rounds. And this, we got a lot of questions, a lot of things to discuss. Foreign policy, TikTok, because the TikTok hearings are happening right now, and they have the guys representing TikTok here in the United States. There was a couple of one of the Florida representatives was asking him a very revealing question, because he could not, he was, even though they have like receipts showing otherwise, I mean, they were trying to deny that there was there's a CCP government official who is there to oversee everything that they do with TikTok, because it is CCP founded and funded. Now, I know there's a huge debate amongst people on the right, because people don't like the idea of the government banning things. But I also think that that only goes so far as to make sense when you're discussing private entities operating independently within the United States. And it is incorrect to classify TikTok as that. It is not a private entity operating within these United States. It is an agent of Chinese government. This is indisputable. There is no such thing as a private business in China. There's no such thing as a privately owned business in China. Every single business in China works with the CCP. Every single business in China has to work with the CCP. So this argument that I hear some, and I understand what they're saying, and it's not that I don't share their concern. I just think that that concern only applies when the entity involved isn't a government agent. This business, if you want to call it that, TikTok is not an independent entity. It is an agent of the CCP. I'm not the person saying that. Their own damn paperwork says that. Stuff that's been leaked online, their discussions that have been shown in these hearings, that's what says it. We're just simply repeating it. Like libs of TikTok repost videos, we just repost what they say about themselves. So that's the difference. This is asymmetrical warfare. And a lot of people don't recognize what that is. They think they do, but they don't. Asymmetrical warfare anymore is cultural. It's nobody cares about your, honestly, I think the data argument's weak. That's not the purpose of this. We've talked about this before. I think the purpose of TikTok is a psyop by the CCP. Disinformation, getting people to turn on each other. That's exactly what this is. We're going to talk about this here at length. So we got a lot actually to get into. Also, coming up, we've got some media malpractice. We'll break down. I mean, I thought I understood the timeline. I think this with the Alvin Bragg and the indictment, I just think the longer it takes, that he's having a hell of a lot of problems convincing this grand jury. That's my take on it. And it's something that also Andy McCarthy hinted at when we had him on the program earlier, because we were talking about the timeline of things and whether or not there could be difficulty in Bragg convincing a grand jury. So we're going to discuss all of that and more. Lots of stuff to hit. Folks, are you concerned about American K-12 education? Are you worried about what your children or grandchildren are learning or not learning in school? So if you've answered yes, my friends at Hillsdale College have a free resource for you. You've heard me talk about how Hillsdale College understands the importance of education to the future of our country. And now they're offering you 10 free print copies of their recent issue of Imprimis, entitled Education as a Battleground, written by Hillsdale College President Larry P. Arn. This special issue provides a factual account of the issues in the ongoing battle over education and why parents and teachers, not bureaucrats or activists, should guide what our children learn. With Hillsdale College, you can make a difference in your community by distributing these copies of Imprimis to your community. Don't miss this opportunity to arm yourself with the facts. Claim your 10 free copies of Education as a Battleground by visiting Dana4Hillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com. Act today and join the battle over education for our country's future. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So this is a weird headline. Apparently, so in Philadelphia, they're going to pay women to get pregnant. This sounds weird. This is really weird. Expectant mothers will be entitled to $1,000 a month with no strings amid falling fertility rates and rising infant deaths. Expectant mothers apparently going to get $1,000 for 18 months. $1,000 a month for 18 months. It's a pilot scheme. They're trying to lower infant mortality rates. golly, you think that just throwing, there's like a million things here that are probably responsible for that, that $1,000 a month is not going to fix because it's not a monetary issue. It's called the Philly Joy Bank, and they're operating in areas of the city that have the highest rates of low birth weights. Cobbs Creek, Strawberry Mansion, Nice Town, Tioga. They said that one of the 10 most populated cities in the U.S., Philly has the highest rate of infant mortality, but it's also a baby bust. So there's a lot of things that go into a decreasing demographic. This is kind of like, there's some NatCons that like this idea because they look at what Hungary's doing and it's welfare. That's what you're talking. It's welfare. That's what this is. This is not how you do this. So really, really weird. So Domino's, I didn't know they were in Italy. Domino's Pizza, they decided, they were 8 years they were trying to operate in Italy and they entered into liquidation. They could not win customers over in Italy. Wow, I'm so shocked. You really? So what? Wow, that's just, it's like putting a Taco Bell in Mexico City. I read a story about that where they tried apparently to put a taco and it did not work. People were like, what in the name of all things holy is the lettuce doing on this? Like, because people, lettuce is not, it's an American thing. Anyway, moving on. In Hawaii, a man swam to safety after he was attacked by a shark off of Hawaii's Big Island. 60-year-old man. He was swimming on Hawaii's Big Island. He was attacked by a shark. This was just a few days ago. He was able to swim to a catamaran. The crew helped him out of the water. They controlled his bleeding until rescuers arrived. They don't know the size or species of the shark. It's called Abe. It's a very long name with a lot of vowels. Located on the west shore of the Big Island. A very scenic area. Beautiful area. But just assume, you know, sharks everywhere. And we're running out of time here because I wouldn't shut up last segment. But stick with us. We got a lot more in store. Don't go anywhere.
Do you love bacon? I mean, really love bacon. If you're a bacon lover, today is your day. Whether for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, bacon is now free for a year at Good Ranchers. Subscribe to get 24 ounces of Applewood smoked bacon added to each box for a year. That's over $200 worth of bacon free. This is 100% American high-quality bacon sourced from local farms with no added hormones or antibiotics. To subscribe, find your perfect box in the Good Ranchers curated selection of pasture-raised meat and wild-caught seafood. Select the frequency that works best for you, and then enjoy less trips to the meat aisle and more flavor at dinner. As long as you stay subscribed, your price will never go up. That's the Good Ranchers price lock guarantee. Elevate your meals without elevating your expenses. Subscribe today at goodranchers.com for free bacon in every box for a year. Use code DANA to get an additional $20 off your first order. Get the best meat America has to offer. Visit GoodRanchers.com. That's GoodRanchers.com, code DANA. Good Ranchers, American meat delivered.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern time.
TikTok surveils us all. And the Chinese Communist Party is able to use this as a tool to manipulate America as a whole. We do not trust TikTok will ever embrace American values. Values for freedom, human rights, and innovation. TikTok has repeatedly chosen the path for more control, more surveillance, and more manipulation. Your platform should be banned. I expect today you'll say anything to avoid this outcome, like you are 100% responsible for what TikTok does, that you suddenly endorse a national data privacy standard, that Project Texas is more than a marketing scheme, that TikTok doesn't harm our innocent children.
Yeah, that's Kathy McMorris Rogers, who is, that's during the, she's questioning that rep with TikTok, which is, again, it's a CCP outfit. And this is not anything that is unknown to us. It's just, I don't know why Democrats, it's weird because Democrats, for the most part, are kind of on the same page as a lot of Republicans, but not all. You have the squad and those other folks. You have Jamal Bowman, who came out and said it was racist somehow to call, I guess it's racist to call communists communists because I guess he believes that. I don't know. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But it is very, it's a very revealing, I think, here. And I was able to watch some of it and give, and I just feel like that guy, he's got to deflect, and he can't I mean, he's just gonna lie and tell them, no, there's no CCP involvement, there's no this, but there's the leaked information that we have, that we know, where they talk about it. Like, apparently, one of the reps sitting on that hearing showed a video that was posted to TikTok before the hearing date and all of that was announced. Somebody on TikTok had it. It was weird. Speaking of TikTok, welcome back to the program. Dana Lesh here with you. Bottom of this first hour. Hold up. Where's my weird story? I got it since it's involved TikTok. A TikTok time traveler says that aliens are going to invade Earth today.
Today?
Today. Where are they at? Today. Where are them aliens at? Show us them aliens. That's apparently, yeah, there's like these, it's this thing. It's, I don't know. It is a, like TikTok time travelers. I don't know. It's like people who, I guess, get on TikTok and they act like they're, you know, from the future. So it's kind of stupid. But there was one that said aliens are going to invade Earth. Okay. Yeah. And that another alien is going to intervene. And it's an alien from a planet that the mean aliens had fought and killed most of the people on that alien planet. But this alien survivor felt bad for us. And he's supposed to intervene. But only 8,000 of us are going to live. And he's going to take, or whatever, the alien. I don't know. Is going to take us back to a different, like, or somewhat Earth-like habitable planet. Okay. And that's what's going to happen.
All right.
Yeah. His world was destroyed by the hostiles. He's going to save some of us. So it says it's March 23rd. Today's March 23rd. So 8,000 people are going to...
That sounds like a great value version of The Rapture.
It sounds like a movie that I've seen before.
Right.
In a way, too, right? Doesn't it sound?
Kind of.
I think I've seen this movie before. Just saying, it sounds like also maybe some people have watched, you know, I think some people play too much Halo. Maybe that also. I'm not on TikTok. I won't get on it. I just, at some point, I used to be on social media a heck of a lot more than I was. And then at some point, I don't know what happened. Like over the past, you know, 5 or 6 years, I just started to hate it. Right? I used to share more personal stuff. And then when I had people writing news articles about what kind of birthday cake I gave my kids, you know, it was in USA Today and Hollywood Reporter, what kind of birthday cake I made my husband, but we're notorious foodies. I cannot decorate cakes. So my husband is the cake decorator because he's way more artistic than me. I can't even draw like a stick person, like with any kind of competency. So I can bake and I can do all that real well, but no. So he decorated a cake to look like a grenade, right? It was for my son, this was like a few years ago, for my son's birthday. And oh my gosh, the media lost their minds. Of course, Dana Lash's kid has a cake for his birthday, a grenade cake. And they just, and I just, I don't know. I think at some point I was just like, to hell with all of you, you know, all with all you people. And then I just, I don't know. And then the influencer thing got really bad and everyone's hawking the same products. You guys have seen this, right? You can't get on Instagram. All the damn trends are the same. Everybody has, like for instance, and I see them pop up, like if I just go to explore, if you look at like a couple of different pictures, then Instagram thinks that that's what you like and it's only going to show you that. And it shows you all. I looked at a friend of mine just because I was being nice to her and I liked her thing. And she was like, she, I guess, sells homewares or something like that. And the all white thing is not my palette. And all of a sudden I started seeing all these posts on Instagram. Everybody had the same damn beads with the tassels on them. What is that about? Like, there's just weird things that pop up everywhere. And I'm like, you guys are all selling the same crap made in China. Stop. Everybody goes to Hobby Lobby and then they act like it's shabby chic. Shut up. It's not. I don't know. I just got tired of it. It just seems so contrived. So I haven't been on it. I'm not on it like I used to be. And I definitely don't share the same amount of stuff like I used to. Just, I don't know what it is. You know, it's like I can't describe it. A malaise? Maybe? You don't really share a lot on there at all.
No. I never have, really. I never really have liked social media that much. Now, it is great to surf and, you know, look at different pieces of content, gather some audios and videos for the show.
I like memes.
I'm not a big fan of the social media.
Yeah, nor am I. Nor am I, to say that. So... I don't know. I saw this protest that they had in front of the Capitol. They were Democrats and they had Jamal Bowman. He was out there. He's the rep who came out and said, the New York rep who came out and said any kind of criticism of TikTok was racist, etc., which we know it's not. And he was the one who came out and said all that stuff. Like, listen to this. This is audio somebody at 17. This is him. This is Bowman at this protest. This is like yesterday. This was him at this protest where he was going on and on about, he's defending TikTok. Listen to this.
As we know, Republicans in particular,
not for the love,
have been sounding the alarm, creating a red scare around China.
Oh my gosh.
They've been doing it in a variety of ways when it comes to economic competition, when it comes to semiconductor manufacturing, and when it comes to technology. In terms of TikTok's behavior and its risk to national security, it poses about the same threat that companies like Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and Twitter pose.
So, is it really a red scare if they're actual communists? Can I just say it? He's a dumbass. You know what? We sit here and talk about competency tests for old boomers that are running for office. How about just a basic IQ test for anybody running for office? Because I don't know if that dude would pass. I'm just saying, because that was one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. The red scare was about innuendo. This is not a red scare when they're like, yes, we're actually literal communists. It's not a red scare when their party's name is literally the Communist Party of China. That's literally their party. It's not a red scare when they have a hammer and sickle as part of their logo or their country's representation. They're saying that they are. There's no fear mongering. That's what they are. It's just wild. Absolutely wild. So it's not just also Republicans. There were a lot of Democrats. It's just the squad that's not. But they had all these other people up there with Bowman. Some of them, I guess, were content creators on TikTok. And Kane makes a good point. China doesn't own Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube. So, and Twitter's not even in China because China doesn't allow it. They have their own version of Twitter. So they had all these other content creators and all this, and they were saying that banning TikTok, one of them said banning TikTok is about preventing wealth creation for younger generations. I'm not joking. That's what, is your neck okay? Kane whiplashed. Are you okay? You all right?
Yeah.
Kane, if you're against TikTok, you're against wealth creation for younger generations. Because there's no other, you could go out and get a regular jobby job, but it's easier to sit on your ass and make videos of yourself, I guess. I don't know. Not everyone is a content creator. We have way too many content creators. We have way too many influencers. You are not owed an audience. That's going to be the next thing that comes up. There are too many people talking about too many irrelevant, dumb, boring things. Nobody cares. Nobody cares, right? Oh my gosh. I love having choices, but I also love living in a world where you're not forced to view everyone as an influencer or a content creator or something like that. Good heavens. So they were out there protesting because they said it was going to stop wealth creation. Then go to another platform. Go to another platform then. Go to YouTube. Go to Rumble. Go to something else. These are just bad arguments. Bad arguments. So the latest on this grand jury, New York grand jury investigating this whole Stormy Daniels, whatever, they've apparently, I guess, what are they taking a testimony? Apparently they're taking testimony from another witness as like a rebuttal to Robert Costello is one of the things that was going around. So apparently that's going to maybe now push everything all the way into next week. I don't think it'll ever happen, do you? I don't think it's ever going to happen. I don't think that I don't think that you can argue that there's a felony here.
Well, I put in Slack the letter from 2018 that Michael Cohen's lawyers Michael Cohen's lawyers even said in this letter to the Department of Justice that Michael Cohen used his own personal money in this payment to Stormy Daniels. So they cannot even make this about Trump somehow paying anyone.
Well, they were saying that he was because he was going to reimburse.
Yeah, but still, that's not the same thing. So
it's also dumb.
Yeah, it's a stretch, and I'm with you. I don't think they're really going to be able to do much of anything, mm-mm. and it's going to be a dog and pony show next week.
Well, yeah, it already is. I mean, we had all of this fury over it. We could have been watching, you know, maybe everybody could have been paying more attention on what was happening with Moscow. But anyway, we'll see. We have more to come. We have a couple more hours of broadcast on the way. We're going to get into some wokery. We have wokery on the way today in our United States. Today in these United States, we got all of that and more. Kel-Tec innovation is back to back. You've heard me talk about Kel-Tec's P50 pistol. Now here comes the new 9mm P15 carry pistol. Quality engineered, the 9mm P15 carry pistol is the lightest, thinnest of its kind and Kel-Tec's first striker fire handgun. And as another first, the P15s feature a totally unique patent-pending 15-round extended magazine. Now other features include ambidextrous grip, safety, reversible mag release, and the hybrid fiber optic night sights with fully adjustable rear. That all comes standard. It's from Kel-Tec, inventors of subcompact polymer and now metal handguns. The P15's gator grip texture on the polymer version increases stability and makes for easy, accurate handling, while the all-metal version offers comfortable but positive traction and a really beautiful wood grip panel. The P15 is the dependable firepower you need to secure your world. See the new 9mm P15 first up close and personal at KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com.
Red meat, black coffee, truth telling. The Dana Show.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. I want to play this audio from Kamala Harris. It's part of our Days of Our United States, but we had some wires crossed here. Play this video because this was, is this a Women's History Month thing? I don't even know.
So during Women's History Month, we celebrate and we honor the women who made history throughout history, who saw what could be unburdened by what had been.
What in women's history hell was that? Why does she keep doing by the whole what might have been thing?
She can't help it. It's all she knows.
Can I hear it again? Who's writing this?
God.
So during Women's History Month, we celebrate and we honor the women who made history throughout history, who saw what could be unburdened by what had been.
What? That's a phrase that she likes to use. To be unburdened by what could have been. Isn't there like a video montage where she says this over and over and over again? It's...
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Several of them.
I can't... She had said that our fight is born out of what we know can be unburdened by what has been. She's been saying that phrase for years. Oh my gosh, that was in 2019. 2020, a vision to see what can be unburdened by what has been. Oh my gosh. And then the historic Women's History Month. They're celebrating the women who made history, you know, throughout history. They were making the history as the history was happening because they were making it. It was happening. And they saw what could be unburdened by what had been. Oh my gosh. Does someone hate her? Who told her that she has to write this herself, right? No one's this bad. Come on, guys. Vote. Show of hands. How many of you think that she writes this herself or that she is a speech writer?
Oh, gosh.
If they're paying somebody to write this stuff, they need to fire that person immediately.
If I were her, I would drag my speech writer out to the parking lot and I would beat them to almost death with my flip-flops. It wouldn't just be one in one hand. I would have two. I would be dual wielding flip-flops. Bah, 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 bah. This is embarrassing. Do you think that at any point she's like, I said this a lot? Oh my gosh, I can't. I just want to just look. I just keep going back to this quote. The women who made history throughout history. I mean, the best time to make history is throughout history. Uh-huh. To be unburdened by what has been, by unburdening it from what it had been throughout history, by making it. It's really, truly historic times that we live in to make the history as we're living in them. We got a lot more coming up. Nikki Haley's going to join us at the bottom of our next hour. Stick with us. Thanks to your support, Patriot Mobile has emerged as one of the leaders in the parallel economy, and they have big news. Patriot Mobile now offers service with all three major networks. This means if you're with the big three and like the service but hate their values, you can access them with Patriot Mobile. They also offer a performance guarantee. So if you're not happy with your coverage, you can switch between the three major carriers for free. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offers nationwide coverage on the best 4G and 5G networks, so you get the same great service while supporting a company that fights to preserve our God-given rights and freedoms. Resolve now to stop supporting companies that don't align with your values. The Patriot Mobile 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today with the offer code Dana. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Today, at a moment of historic challenge, as well as opportunity in our transportation systems, as they cope with profoundly disruptive forces that include continued shockwaves from the coronavirus pandemic, increasing threats from climate change, and the effects of decades of disinvestment.
Golly, that's Pete Buttigieg, who's apparently he can't do his job because of the weather. Welcome back to the program. Top of our second hour here. Dana Lash with you. Always good to be with you guys. You can listen coast to coast. You can also stream it on YouTube, Facebook, channel 347 on DirecTV. I have to look at Juan because if I get in the wrong ballpark, he'll like shake his hands furiously. So we got it. All right. So I kind of have to laugh at this because we only hear, so he's, okay, so he was, what were you telling me like right before this happened? Because he's testifying right now or testifying earlier about the transportation system. Who was it that asked him what? So it
was Senator Kennedy. One of his first questions was, yeah, how are your kids?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Senator Kennedy out of Louisiana is one of the cattiest men I've ever, and I say this for me, this is a compliment. Like, I am saluting you, sir. He's one of the cattiest men ever. You know, he would be so much fun to sit next to if you had to go to one of those godforsaken, you know, political banquet things, and you're sitting, he's Secretary, the one that you want to sit next to.
How are you babies?
Thank you for asking. They're doing all right.
Aww.
As we were talking about earlier, my father used to tell me, you'll never know love until you have a child.
It's a different kind of love.
It is a different kind of love.
It's a wonderful thing.
He's like half sincere and half not. You know this, right? I just love it. It's too funny. All right. So this is what we are dealing with. Climate change, transportation. It's bad because, you know, of the trends. It's bad because, you know, transportation system. Historic challenge because of the climate change threats. Is that what caused the East Palestine, which Biden never visited, by the way? Did they get any of the medals that he was giving out to Springsteen and all these other cats?
Did he
what? You know, when he was giving out medals and stuff, or like awards and that?
Right.
I didn't watch. Because you know why I didn't watch, guys? Because I don't care. But when that was all happening, I was just curious as to whether or not there was anybody from East Palestine there. Did they get anything? I think it's kind of weird that he hasn't gone also because that's like, he needs that state. He needs Pennsylvania and Ohio. Pennsylvania was suffering from some of that as well. From climate change, you know, the transportation, it's, you know why it's a historic challenge to transportation right now? I agree. Transportation is facing an unprecedented, historic challenge, people. You want to know what that is? Pete Buttigieg. He, because of him, is making transportation face an absolute, historic, unprecedented challenge. It's really amazing. Just unprecedented. This is our glorified transportation secretary. The charges from Alvin Bragg, because everybody's been wanting an update. And it's going to happen. He's having trouble, which we were kind of wondering about this. We talked about this a little bit also yesterday. I think he's having difficulty convincing the jury in coming up with any kind of felony charges. I really do. Because now they said they're not going to convene again until next week. And they were trying to bring in, from one of the things I was reading, trying to bring in a witness to counter Costello. So who knows what's going to happen with this. But I think the longer it goes, the worse it is for Bragg. It's just because it was a stupid thing anyway. I think it's a stretch to criminalize it. I understand that they were trying to, and this is where McCarthy was talking about any kind of a misdemeanor, but that would be just a campaign violation, campaign finance violation. And it was still a hell of a lot less than Ilhan Omar. But the point is that they were trying to argue because it went into 2017, then there's the ability to bring in the campaign finance law, et cetera, et cetera. I get it. But I still don't. Even then, I think it's questionable because of the way it was, you know, the way it was set up. It's just dumb. It's dumb. And it makes a guy who reduces the penalty for how many different felonies look so petty. When he's like, well, wait a minute now. Hush money to a side piece? That's way more dangerous than murder. Carjackings. Good old Alvin Bragg. But I don't think that they're going to. I just don't think that they're going to come up. I don't think that they're going to come up with it. I really don't. And then all of this is going to, all of the weeping and gnashing of the teeth on the left is going to have been for naught. It will be for nothing. It's the way it'll be. And in the meantime, serious stuff going down overseas. I was telling you how, and I'm pulling up some of my pieces here. I was telling you how the announcement came that they were going to use the yuan, not the yen or the yuan, it's pronounced a little differently, Chinese currency. Russia said they were going to use that for business, for dealings with Asia, Africa, Latin America. And then China comes out and says that they've also were able to broker a normalized relations deal between two mortal enemies, Saudi Arabia and Iran, which kind of sidelines the United States. On top of, as I talked about with Stephen Yates, not just this Monday of this week, but the week prior, how China has increased their military spending, a major jump from 2019 to now account for nearly 8% of their GDP. Now, there's been a lot of discussion on Ukraine and China. And honestly, the way that I look at it, my husband and I do not at all agree on this, like in the least. It feels, from my perspective, when I sit here and I watch everybody argue over this, the neocons, which I'm not using that right now I'm just using it to differentiate between the two sides. Usually I use it as a pejorative, but right now I'm not. But when I look at the neocons and when I look at people who I don't classify as non-interventionists, but people who just want smart strategy, it almost seems as though the argument that you hear in the press and everything else is that you can't care about, if you care about China, you can't care about Ukraine. Or if you care about Ukraine, you can't care about China. And I think that that's not true. But it certainly does seem that way when you listen to even some members of the Republican Party speak. And I wanted to play this audio soundbite. This was from a little bit ago. This is a bit of a flashback. But this sentiment hasn't changed. It's Mitch McConnell, who was he was taking some questions from the press. And again, this is some flashback audio. Which audio soundbite is this?
Four.
And this is, listen, I want you to listen to this, what he says here.
Making sure the Defense Department can deal with the major threats coming from Russia and China. Providing assistance for the Ukrainians to defeat the Russians. That's the number one priority for the United States right now, according to most Republicans. That's sort of how we see the challenges confronting the country at the moment.
Hmm. So he thinks that providing assistance for Ukrainians to defeat Russians is the number one priority. Now, the conventional thinking, I think, from his, I guess, sort of camp of think of the camp of thought is that, you know, China would like for Russia to, you know, to win and, you know, distract us, etc. And that also somehow I think they really do believe that Putin has these like imperialistic fantasies, which it's one thing to have a fantasy, but it's another thing about actually having the ability to carry that out. Which I just don't think that he does. You know, we've talked before about how, you know, some have said that he wants to expand his aggressions to be on NATO's doorstep. Well, if you look at the five NATO nations who border with Russia, I mean, that's already there. But consider this, though, too. How many, I don't know how many other ways that Russia can have its backside kicked by kind of a hodgepodge, you know, suppressed, disgruntled military in Ukraine. I mean, they've been absolutely decimated. Russia has. What makes anybody think that they would go, you know what, since we did so well here in Ukraine, why don't we just go ahead and kick the hornet's nest that is NATO, right? And I understand they've been propped up mainly by China. And that's been going on for quite some time. But at the same time, that's not a winning bet for Xi Jinping. Which is why he's only been tentatively wading into all of this. So I just, I wonder if people realize whether or not maybe, I mean, if China's doing anything, I think that they would be using this situation as a way to deplete resources from the United States. So that way, if China decided they wanted to do something, we wouldn't have the ability or means to quickly respond because our preparedness is low. I mean, did you see this, that we had the headline just, you know, not long ago about how we're trying to turn, Abrams tanks over there? I mean, we're sending munitions and everything else at the risk of depleting our own stockpiles. That seems to be a little much, right? And there's no accountability or oversight. And if you ask for any kind of accountability or oversight, then you're met with the whole Chamberlain response, which sidebar to that, there's a lot of really good debate that Chamberlain was kind of in a catch-22. There was no way that Britain was or anyone else was going to be able to save the annexation of Czechoslovakia. It was not going to happen. That was a foregone conclusion. So it begs the question to assert that they were trying to leverage that country in order to buy themselves more time to save their own. There were others who argue that, you know, the peace in our time was just buying time for armament. And you know, that might be some, you know, that's really some very interesting debate. That being said, there's so many things that are different from that situation to this one. And also the idea that, well, we're going to, you know, fight them there. And I don't know, there's just a lot that foreign policy is a lot of nuance and it's true, but none of that should contain, I think, illogical arguments or comparing completely different scenarios as a way to justify, you know, more aggression. This is going to become a big factor in 2024. It should. So apparently, real quick, some of the discussions, by the way, with TikTok, apparently, Debbie Lesko asked three times in a row, Mr. Chu, whether or not the TikTok guy, whether or not he agreed that the Chinese government has persecuted the Uyghur population, and he would not answer. Three times. We'll get that video of that because that apparently just happened.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So New Mexico is hiring professional bear huggers. Now, wait a minute. Before you get all excited and go running into a bear den, hold up. Let's not get this. So apparently it's New Mexico's department. This is like a Parks and Rec thing. New Mexico's Department of Fish and Game is hiring what they say is a so-called bear hugger. Has the courage to crawl into a bear den. Oh, well. Oh, my goodness. They said crawl into bear dens, trust their coworkers will keep them safe, blah, blah, blah. They're investigating wildlife damage, all this kind of stuff, dealing with animal problems. And I guess that seems like the most dangerous thing to do. I don't know what the insurance is going to be like on that. I'm just saying. Having had a slap fight with a chimpanzee, I totally understand this. A dad punches two monkeys because they attacked his son at the beach. Someone said, well, are they hugging him? No, I don't think so. Travel influencers, oh, for the love. They were in Philippines visiting Monkey Beach, and they said that their five-year-old son, they were with their kids, and their five-year-old apparently, the one brother was trying to shoo the monkeys away, and they just like apparently descended on him. And the dad said that he punched two of them. They look like the macaque monkeys, the smaller ones. Yeah, so they said that he got bitten by one, and so he had to get rabies shots, apparently. That's wild. So, yeah, these are weird headlines right now. Then there's also a man who woke up, according to Yahoo News, a man woke up unable to walk. It turned out vitamin B12 was inactivated in his body after he took laughing gas. Vito Oliveira, 34, first used nitrous oxide. And he said that that afterwards, apparently, it just rendered vitamin B12. It was like inactivated in his body. He couldn't walk as a result of that. That seems like a really weird side effect. This is like the Whippet stuff, basically, right? That's kind of like what it is. Yeah. See, all kinds of stuff you got to be careful with. I mean, I shouldn't have to tell you to not and just inhale gas like this. But, you know, we did have to tell baby millennials to not eat Tide Pods. So there's the world. All right. Coming up. Nikki Haley, she's running for office in 2024. She joins us next to talk Ukraine, China, TikTok, so much more. Stick with us.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's chapter and verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
China and Russia have said we are unlimited partners. And they have said Iran is their junior partner. That is your axis of evil. If we don't look at that with clear lenses and see it for what it is and be at the top of our game on that, that's what's going to go wrong. All Russia has to do for a win is leave. If Ukraine stops, they lose their entire country. If Russia stops, the war is over.
That's there's a lot of big foreign policy debates, but obviously this one is, I think, the biggest at shaping a lot of things, especially with everything that came out of this meeting between Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin just this past week, and two of the big ones we were talking about earlier. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen to the radio program coast to coast in a city near you, or you can also stream it online, Facebook, YouTube, and Channel 347 on DirecTV as well. The woman that you were just listening to, Nikki Haley, the former governor of South Carolina, former U.S. ambassador to the U.N. She has a new book out as well. We've talked to her about her book. If you want something done, Leadership Lessons from Bold Women, and the elephant in the room, no pun intended because of party affiliation, just worked out that way, running for president in 2024. She joins us via phone right now. Governor, pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much for joining us. I wanted to get your thoughts on two of the big things that happened this week. While everyone was distracted, I think, by everything else, Xi Jinping, Vladimir Putin, Putin announces that they're going to use Chinese currency in dealing with Asia, Latin America, Africa. And then China announces that they've been able to broker some sort of normalized relations agreement between two mortal enemies, Saudi Arabia and Iran, two things which the United States has kind of been left on the sidelines about. What is your take on this? I mean, how threatening do you think that the United States should view this?
Thank you for having me on, Dana. This is serious. It's a big deal. And I think that, first of all, you look at what I learned at the United Nations in dealing with these countries. Everything they say is transparent. They're telling you exactly what they're going to do. Everything they do is symbolic. You go back to before the Olympics, They sat there and they shook hands and they said they were unlimited partners. They were telling the world to get ready. Then China had their Olympics, Russia invaded Ukraine, and now you look at the situation that Russia has hit rock bottom. They are getting drones from Iran. They're getting missiles from North Korea. They've raised the draft age in Russia to 65, and they know that Ukraine's gaining ground again. And so when they've hit that, the idea that President Xi showed up in Russia for that photo op that they really wanted to show the world, they again acknowledge what close friends they are. And President Xi was caught on a hot mic saying change that hasn't happened in 100 years is coming and we are driving this change together. That's what he said to Putin. And that's why everybody needs to understand that a win for Russia is a win for China. This is the new partnership that they are trying to create. This is their ability to try and get rid of the West and all freedom-loving countries. And they see us as the great sinners. And this is what they're going to continue to do. And the U.S. has been asleep at the wheel, incredibly naive, and not handling this in the way that we need to make sure that we deter a world war going forward.
We're talking with Nikki Haley, running for president in 2024. You said a win for Russia, obviously, a win for China. What does a win for or in Ukraine look like?
I mean, if Russia left today, Ukraine had their country back, that's a win. If Russia retreats, that's great. If Ukraine retreats, they lose their freedom, they lose their country, and Poland and the Baltics are next. Putin has said that. So, for Ukraine, it's really just showing dictators you can't invade freedom-loving countries. You don't get to do that. And China wants Russia to win, because if Russia wins, China moves on Taiwan, and it allows all the other evil dictators to do what they want to do. That's why this is bigger than about Ukraine. This is really a war for freedom, and it's one that we have to win. I don't think we should be giving Ukraine any money whatsoever. I don't think we should be putting troops on the ground, but I do think we need to be working with our allies and making sure that Ukraine has what they need to finish this with equipment and ammunition. None of this would have happened had Obama done what he was supposed to with Crimea. None of this would have happened had we not had the debacle in Afghanistan. None of this would have happened if Biden had worked with our allies when Putin started to surround Ukraine several months prior.
But or if Biden hadn't said minor incursions are okay.
It's total weakness. And Dana, look at the fact of what happened last week. This was a huge moment. Russia shot down an American drone. And what did we do about it? Nothing. What we should have done is put two drones back up there, a fighter jet, send our naval fleet back in the Black Sea where it was supposed to be and never should have left. That's deterrence. That causes these
guys. It could be interpreted as further aggression, though.
It's not interpreted as further aggression. It's interpreted as be careful what you do. You don't want to go there. The last thing Russia wants is a war with the U.S. They can't even win with Ukraine. They don't want a war with the U.S.
See, that's why, not to interrupt, we're talking with Governor Nikki Haley running for president in 2024. That's why I sit and I look at the sides of all the arguments in this. And with Russia and performing so poorly in Ukraine, which I don't think anyone maybe anticipated that Ukraine, with very little was able to hold them off. At this point, it's going to be a war of attrition if Russia does anything, which is why I don't know why they would try to pick a fight with NATO since they've been so decimated in Ukraine, because if they were to go after Poland, that's essentially what they'd be doing.
Well, if you've got the back of China, you feel emboldened. And that's what Putin is. That's where the factor of China weighs in here, is it's in China's best interest to have the West get weakened. It's in China's best interest to have Russia move into Poland and the Baltics, to get them out of the way so that they can focus on Asia. That's in their best interest. And you have to be able to connect the dots and see it. And, I dealt with it every day on every issue we were working on at the United Nations. You saw how Russia would do the dirty work for China. And you saw how they would work together on different things to just minimize the West. We can't let that happen. The reason we're in a situation with China that we are is because for too long you had Republicans and Democrats say, oh, don't worry about China. Leave them alone. We don't need to pick with China. We don't need to do that. Just leave them. If you make that same mistake with Russia, you are not only creating a superpower with China, you're creating a super team with China, Russia, and Iran. That's the importance of why we have to go forward. And not to mention, when I was at the United Nations, there was no better friend to us than Ukraine. They were with us on everything, even when I didn't ask. They helped even when we didn't even need it. They were always there for us. And
well, let me ask you this. We're talking with Governor Nikki Haley. I don't mean to interrupt you, Governor. I apologize. I wish radio format very different from our podcast, from a podcast. Because I know that you've remarked recently on the comment from Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who said that the issue with Ukraine was a territorial dispute. And you have an op-ed that you published that it was not a territorial dispute. If you could specifically articulate, what is the dispute over? Like, where could there be some kind of negotiation for peace between those two entities? What would that look like?
Russia should leave. I mean, think about it. If someone invaded America, what would be a win for us? What would we consider a win? And if the allies and all the West go and combine and say, Russia needs to leave this country they invaded. That's what a win looks like. But having Russia get away with a little bit, that was the problem with Obama. They let them get away with Crimea. That gave them the okay to keep on digging and keep on digging. That's what we don't want to have happen, is we need to let them know when you have independent, free countries, no dictator has the right to invade and take that away from any of us.
This, I'm going to move to TikTok and some other, because we have the TikTok hearings.
And the reason I do want to go to the territorial dispute, the concern with the territorial dispute is, this is not the time to get weak in the knees on Russia. This is not the time to get weak in the knees on China. That's what they're hoping we will do. We can't get them that.
How would a President Nikki Haley handle that?
Avoiding the weak in the knees on that?
Well, in response to Russia and dealing with China on either end of the globe here, I mean, it's a tough decision. How would you handle the United States and our response and dealing with China, dealing with Russia in this? What would you do? What would be the decisions that you would make with regards to Ukraine and Russia right now if you were in the White House?
First, you call them out on what they're doing, and you let them know what you expect of them. In terms of China, they are now building up their military. They have the largest naval fleet in the world. They have more air defense systems than we do, and they're modernizing. They just developed the fifth generation fighter jet by stealing our technology. You look at the fact that they continue to steal intellectual property. President Xi has a commission that says any company that does business in China has to cooperate with the Chinese military. Look at our tech companies. That's all of our financial data. That's all of our healthcare data. That's all our children's lifestyle data that the Chinese military has. The idea that they could fly a Chinese spy balloon over America, there's nothing. That was a national embarrassment. The fact that they have 385,000 acres of U.S. soil, most recently near Grand Forks Air Force Base, where our most sensitive military technology is, the fact that they're sending over the fentanyl and they know exactly what they're doing when they're sending that fentanyl over and we're doing nothing about it, the fact that they have TikTok and we know that President Xi says whoever owns the data rules the world and this is all their surveillance structure so that they can then use that data against us, we have to start looking at this as a national security issue. And when we let them know we're onto them and when we actually start dealing with it, that's the key. That doesn't mean we have to economically separate from China. I don't care if Americans buy T-shirts and light bulbs from China any more than I care if they buy agricultural products from our farmers. But what I do care is when it's in the national security interest. When we are, you know, they tell us to put on a mask and it's made in China. They tell us to take a COVID test that's made in China. You know, you walk down the drugstore
aisle. Right. There's a lot of stuff that we could do. Absolutely. Let me ask you this. Talking with Nikki Haley, former governor of beautiful South Carolina, also running for president. Why? Some people like me, I remember when Trump went over, I think it was like G8, or he was over, it was the famous picture where he was sitting at the table, Angela Merkel was mad. He had made Angela Merkel angry because he was demanding Germany pay more GDP towards NATO. Why can't Europe take more of a lead on this? And do you think, kind of a two-parter, if Europe was able to, and seemed willing and maybe even eager, NATO nations particularly, obviously, to pay more of their GDP towards their, you know, their own self-defense, would that have been enough of a deterrent to stop Russia, even maybe perhaps before they tried annexing Crimea?
Absolutely. Look, the stronger that those NATO countries are, the more invested those NATO countries are, the more of a deterrence it is. We should always push the envelope on what they need to do. We should always give them a hard time and let them know they have to do more. They should never think that they are only dependent on us. That was something.
Well, why should we then pick up their slack? Why should we pick up their slack? If they're unwilling to do it, it's in their backyard. I mean, I just feel like they have more of a duty than we do.
I mean, Biden should be sitting down with all of them and putting requirements in front of them on what is expected of them. And they should have to deliver. That hasn't happened. He hasn't done that at all. And that's exactly why he's been showing weakness.
I wanted to ask you a couple of things. The TikTok stuff, and I only have two questions left for you. Talking with Nikki Haley, I appreciate your time with us today. A lot of people talk about the data. You had mentioned the data as well. Can you speak to kind of the, for the lack of a better way to put it, sort of the PSYOP goal that China has with TikTok? Because to me, I think it's more about dividing people with their CCP-formulated misinformation, their algorithms. That's kind of, I think, the big danger with TikTok. How do you deal with that, though? Because I know right now they're debating whether or not to even ban it, because I don't think enough people look at that company as the agent of state it is, as opposed to, you know, they instead look at it as an individual, you know, business, but a lot different than what it really is.
Well, I think first we have to understand that they are cooperating with the Chinese military. That's a requirement of ByteDance. That's a requirement of what they have to do. And I'll tell people, just imagine if somebody was looking over your shoulder and staring at what you were doing on your phone. And just imagine that someone was studying the decisions you make in how you move on your phone. And just imagine the fact that they put things in front of you that try to change your mind or create a scenario that causes chaos. That is TikTok. That is what they are doing. And so not only are they collecting data on what you do and how you think, they are putting things in front of kids, whether the first one of the first things they see are things about suicide. They do put things that divide our country based on race and religion. Facebook did this back in 2016. Russia did this with Facebook back in 2016. Their goal is chaos. Their goal is to destroy us. That's the reason they're sending the fentanyl the way they are. And so we need to completely ban TikTok. There's nothing that that CEO could say that would in any way get trust from me that they're not doing something. They're fighting this hard because they're trying to get all the data that they can.
It is it's wild. We live in Orwell's time for sure. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Governor Nikki Haley, would love to have you back. I appreciate you having a conversation with us on this, because there's a lot of nuance, particularly in geopolitics. There's a lot of nuance there, a lot of stuff to discuss. And it's good to have that exchange of ideas. We appreciate your time. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. I hope everybody will go to NikkiHaley.com.
Thanks so much. We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up this second hour of programming. Stick with us. We are back right after this.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Man, half of me is saying, ladies, get you a man who's going to drive 100 miles per hour to get you to your Taco Bell interview on time. And then half of me is like, don't do that because that's reckless. And why does he have a suspended license in the first place? This is an actual story from Brevard Times. So what happened literally just 2 days ago? Florida dude was driving 100 miles per hour in a 40 mile per hour no passing zone. He was taking his girlfriend to her interview at Taco Bell, one of my favorite fast food restaurants, by the way. This was on March 21st. So according to the arrest affidavit, it began when Palm Bay police observed a Mercedes driving like a bat out of hell on a no passing zone. And the driver, 22-year-old Javon Jackson, was allegedly attempting to pass a Palm Bay police unmarked patrol vehicle at the very high rate of speed. When they tried to pull him over, it allegedly passed another vehicle in the no passing zone before pulling over to the right shoulder. I mean, that does kind of sound like a trick move. That's, you know, but anyway, I know. Police asked for his license. He said it was suspended. Another officer arrived on scene. They said, you're going 100 miles per hour in a 40. You can't be doing this. And they said that they apparently had three juveniles in the vehicle along with the girlfriend. They were not properly restrained. So he got citations for that. And then they charged him with reckless driving, habitual traffic offender because of the suspended license and child neglect. But he was trying to get his lady to her interview one time. I don't think she made it. I don't think she made the interview on time. But he was trying to get her there. He was trying his best to get her there. I will say that. Run for the border. Yeah. Stay with us. We got our third hour on the way. A lot more of the program coming up.
So I'm not going to talk about private conversations. But what I will say is I've made it very clear as publicly as humanly possible that I didn't think that he should be reconfirmed as president, as chair of the Fed. And I think he's doing a really terrible job. And he's doing a terrible job on both fronts. Remember, there are only two jobs for the Federal Reserve chair. One is monetary policy, inflation. I think he's doing a very bad job there, and it's risking pushing our economy into a recession. His other job is regulatory oversight, and he has spent 5 years weakening regulations over these multi-billion-dollar banks.
I like how Elizabeth Warren has everything. She has an ability to take the reality of a situation and flip it. So you're sitting in the reality and you're listening to her talk and you're like, what? Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. He's trying to cause a recession that we're currently in. It's wild. You can find our discussions, by the way, all of our interviews, all of our guests up at YouTube and on Facebook as well. And we had spoken with Nikki Haley. I didn't even have time to get to the banking stuff and the financial stuff, which we're going to get into. I do think personally, I think she's a nice person. I don't dislike her as a person, but you guys know how I am on foreign policy stuff. And also, too, when I have people on the program and we were talking about this, you know, I'm always a good hostess, and I don't like talking over people. I think some kind of forget when we get in our discussion that we're on air, on a live radio program. And I always, I have to cut in when I got to cut in. And there is a delay sometimes. There was a delay with her when we had her on the phone. That's just normal. But it is when you're trying to get as much in as possible. And there was a lot of ground to cover. And I think it's good to have this exchange of ideas. The situation with Russia and Ukraine, there is a lot of history, particularly within the areas in dispute. There's a lot of history. There's a lot of back and forth. And to be honest, and I was telling Kane this in the context of, discussion of Russia pushing instability in Moldova. And I am a major Cold War buff. I'm a huge World War II buff. I'm a major Cold War buff. I've read, I don't know how many books. Like when we had the Washington Post here that did the profile piece on me, they were kind of flipping out. For our subscribers, I'm going to give you a tour of my office. And I'm going to show you. I have bookshelves where I have things like three stacks deep. And I've read everything. And all my books are marked up because I have a horrible habit of writing in everything. But I've read so much about this. And it has always fascinated me because it's modern era, but also it has the cultural impact that we're still feeling today. Everything growing up when, I was a kid in the 80s, came of age in the 90s, even in the, the aughts, it was still tinged with that, this Cold War aesthetic, for the lack of a better way to put it. And there's so much about it that's fascinated me. There's a lot to discuss there. And at the same time, I think if we're going to say that we have a duty that we have to fulfill, then we should be able to articulate, what the duty is. I will say the part where, I don't dislike her, and I do want to remind people, because people can be fickle. I like to be very fair, and I like to be very even-keeled with things. she had a lot of Tea Party support in the in the very beginning, but there's still, you got to remember, a huge strain of the Tea Party was the libertarian element. And libertarians are, it's not that they're non-interventionists, it's that they're just different with strategy. I just don't like politicizing conflict. And so, as it relates to this, I think if you're going to push for a duty to be fulfilled, you have to be able to really articulate what that duty is. When she was saying to put in a fleet there in the Black Sea and a jet and a couple drones, that was interesting. And I was like, that could be looked at as further aggression. I mean, by us in that instance. And I never want to be the aggressor, because that's what Russia wants everyone to view. Russia wants everyone to look at Russia as poor little Russia. Tiny violins. That's what they want that. They've learned how to adopt that victim culture and try to use it to their benefit, the way China has been doing, most recently with the coronavirus and now apparently with TikTok. You can't call to ban TikTok. That's racist. They're communists. Anybody can be a communist, right? So that is, there's a lot here. There's also the issue of China's just using Russia at this point. The other thing I was thinking of when I was watching them walk and sit at the table, sign their agreements and all of this was that, do you think, and Kane, I'll throw this out to you too, because you've been, when we've had Stephen Yates on, we've had Yates on before and we've discussed how China and Russia are kind of uneasy, sort of unofficial allies. Because just because they're both kind of commies doesn't mean that they're going to be besties and they want to rule the world together. One wants to be the power over the other. But do you think after everything that's transpired last week, particularly with Russia saying that they would use Chinese currency, do you think Russia's accepted its second banana position?
I think so, because I don't think the ruble can compete with the yuan. So it's just not going to happen. And I think Putin knows it. I think he wants success where it's local for Putin. And I don't know about his aspirations as they align with China, because I think China's aspirations are way more than local.
Now, China, if you want to talk about imperialist, they absolutely want to expand beyond Taiwan. That's where I don't, because I see Russia going into Ukraine, they get their asses kicked. And then for those who are arguing, well, then they're going to go beyond that. I don't see that, though. Because he does not have the what's required to make that happen, number one. Number two, he's spoken about Russian ethnicity. He's very identity politic. Even though they claim to hate that, he's very identity politic. Number three, do you think if they're going to get their A double snakes whooped in Ukraine to the point where they have to increase their recruitment age to 64, that they're going to then go and tap on NATO's shoulder and try to pick a fight? It's not going to happen. And I don't think China would actually let them at that point, because China's backing Russia financially. I mean, it's China's purchase of their dirty gas and their economic relationship, which was strengthened this past week, they're propping them up at this point. So I don't think that they would allow that to happen. However, I do think that China wants to keep Russia in a position to distract the United States and deplete as much of our resources as possible. So that's why I was like, if we're not sending money, but we'd send a fleet and then a jet and then another drone, well, that's pretty aggressive. Now, here's the other thing that I've been reading a number of different analyses on the Reaper drone that was downed. We talked about that earlier in the week. That happened when I was out last week, and we talked about it on Monday, discussed it with Stephen Yates as well. The Russian jet that dumped fuel on the drone and took it down, they say it was in international waters, but they were trying to claim originally that it was in Russian airspace or in international airspace. Some were saying that should be an act of war. Act of war started trending on Twitter. I disagree, though. And I've been reading a couple of different, I like to read from every aspect of it. The one variable that sticks out to me is the absence of a pilot. Now, modernity has allowed us, I think, to redefine certain things, particularly when you have technology involved that puts a buffer between a human life and conflict itself, right? And this is, I believe, one of those instances. It would have been a different situation had we a jet there a jet had been downed and a pilot either killed or captured. Now, that is incredibly significant. And I actually think at that point, not because of any morals or value for life, but because they would be concerned about provoking NATO's wrath, that Russia would not have reacted that way. But because it's a drone, they felt, well, there's an absence of life there. We clearly see that, even though it's large, there's no human, it's a drone. That to me makes it different. That's up for debate for sure, but that's kind of my personal take on it. I don't like rushing into conflict because you, especially without asking, well, A, for what reason? B, what's the goal? C, what's the cost? And I don't mean just in money. I mean in treasure, our lives. These are all things I think that are incredibly important to ask. So it's going to be a huge feature of this. A lot of people were really mad at, you know, DeSantis. They've been mad at, you know, some of the other comments that others have made. But I think obviously caution is key. And I also don't trust any kind of conflict to be prosecuted by the United States unless there's a total cleaning a house at Pentagon. I mean, I wouldn't support any kind of conflict. I mean, unless it's like self-defense of home country, unless A, you had new leadership in the White House, and B, that new leadership in the White House made it a priority to clean house. Because otherwise, you're going to have the same manner of prosecuting a conflict, a war that we've had in the past. I mean, you've got, you know, these entrenched people in DOD, Pentagon, you know, the same people who have, I mean, what have we gotten in return for our investment of our resources into their tenure? I mean, we've got dead service members in Afghanistan. You know, we had a convoluted prosecution of Iraq. I mean, I could go on, because you have leadership that wants to politicize conflict, which imperils our warfighters. Let our warfighters do their jobs. They can do their jobs better than these people are prosecuting these campaigns. Let them do their jobs. So I think it would take even more than that. Even if it was a DeSantis or a Trump in the White House, I think, no, well, we're not doing a damn thing until y'all clean house. You have to. All right, let's move on. We got a bunch of other things that I just realized I haven't looked at my rundown in a really long time. We've just been sitting here kind of shooting the breeze. There's like a million things that I got. There's a million things I have to get. My bookmarks, all kinds of other stuff that I haven't touched on. But I had, let me pull this up. Good, because I've had a couple of different pieces here that I want to get before we roll on into headlines. Right. And one of those was what was happening at Stanford. We'll talk about this. This was when I was out for spring break. There was a judge who was giving remarks, and you had a bunch of law students who were freaking out. The Stanford Law Dean released a statement yesterday saying, quote, "We cannot function as a law school from the premise that appears to have animated the disruption of Judge Duncan's remarks, that speakers' texts or ideas believed by some to be harmful inflict a new impermissible harm, justifying a heckler's veto." So I love the comment someone made. There's no law anymore. There's only politics. Now remove the variable of law. Add any other discipline. Medicine. Right? Administration. Education. Everything's been made into politics.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This is just wild. The death toll, according to ABC, linked to contaminated eye drops is rising as more people are reporting vision loss. Four people had to have their eyeballs surgically removed. It's kind of wild. The death toll has risen. More and more people have lost their vision from it. 8-10 different brands of artificial tears. Most have been linked to EzraCare, Delsym Pharma eye drops made by India-based Global Pharma Healthcare. There's nothing safe. Nothing is safe. In addition to this, this is really kind of wild. SEC charged Lindsay Lohan. She did a horrible like B-roll like werewolf movie. I accidentally watched part of it on Amazon and I had to stop. But I liked her Hallmark stuff. SEC charges Lindsay Lohan and Jake Paul with crypto violations. Of course they did. Securities and Exchange Commission charged them and six other celebrities for violating investor protection laws by promoting cryptocurrencies without disclosing that they were being paid to promote cryptocurrencies. Well, duh. You think they're actually going to go out there and do... Come on. You can actually tell when someone is doing... When someone's promoting something. No one just, like, out of the blue starts talking about this stuff. You know what I'm saying? Nobody sits here, like, and discusses things like the coffee I'm about to drink, which is an amazing cup of coffee from Black Rifle Coffee. And anyway, you get what I'm saying. All right. This home prices fell in February for the first time in 11 years. A proposal to build the world's tallest flagpole looms over a small community in Maine. It would be exactly 1,776 feet above sea level. Get it, Winky Winky? Yeah. Columbia Falls. They have a patriotic theme park. What does that entail? Do you get to, like, cosplay dumping tea in the harbor? That would be amazing. I mean, it is a ginormous flagpole. But they said that they want to feature all kinds of stuff, and they're kind of going back and forth on some things with development. But I would go to it. I would totally go to it. Gerber powdered infant formula recalled because of possible bacteria exposure. The ones, it was products manufactured at a Wisconsin facility. So you should check the FDA site on that. Stay with us. We got more in store.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others.
The Dana Show.
Coming for the end of weak gun laws that allow people to buy an assault rifle and kill and traumatize school children, traumatize teachers, and traumatize grocery patrons. That's what we're coming for. And it doesn't require taking away people's right to bear arms. Our work is about saving people's lives. We will not succumb to the nihilist, insurrectionist view of the Second Amendment. We will not allow the apologists for gun violence to win. We will double down on a public health response to the public health emergency that is gun violence in our country. And together, we will end this crisis once and
goodness.
For all.
This is Cori Bush, who is at this ATF hearing. And what is even an insurrectionist view of the Second Amendment, as she said it? Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Wouldn't the insurrectionist position be to not have the Second Amendment, Kane? That seems like that is the insurrectionist.
Yeah, no,
view.
That's exactly right. I mean, our forefathers set it up so that it protects the individual, people.
Yeah.
Government is the people. So insurrectionist by exercising a right, God-given right, it's silly.
I mean, when you... Well, not everyone can afford Kane, her anti-Semitic magical security that says that they can make your teeth fall out. Not everyone can do that, I suppose. Now, that is, I don't even know what the insurrectionist view thing is. So apparently they've had the hearings going on, ATF, in D.C., a lot of stuff, TikTok, ATF, all this stuff. And they've been going on and on and on. I tweeted something out earlier because they had, who was it, the Everytown dude? The Everytown, the mayor, the Michael Bloomberg created group. They were going on and on about ghost guns, which is a ridiculous, the ghost gun thing is ridiculous because the way that these anti-Second Amendment advocates are arguing this is that they're somehow, they're trying to act like there's an increase in crime because of ghost guns, and that's not true. Or they're saying that most of the homicides, etc., are done with ghost guns, which also isn't true. It is a small percentage of them even out there. And we've already had, I don't know how many countless surveys at this point I have cited, even from the DOJ, the Department of Justice, which has shown where people who are, they've looked at people who are incarcerated and they've surveyed them as to where they get their firearms, etc. Everybody gets it on the black market. That's where they're getting it. I mean, this is all, they apparently went to the ATF to, because they were questioning the ATF about everything from pistol braces to all this other stuff. I'm trying to remember, because this was all happening live. Didn't we have something that flew by that one of us posted in Slack? Somebody was saying something about that, because the ATF, they had their guy was supposed to be there, And they were talking about ghost guns and pistol braces and all this other stuff. And I just, it's pure hackery. You have, it's like listening to the people who don't understand how tech works, trying to trying to create legislation about tech. Because there was someone apparently in the TikTok, a Democrat in the TikTok hearing, where they didn't realize that you could apparently copy and paste like files, audio files. It's like the same thing. This is the thing we were talking about. So this was on the pistol. This came from this ATF hearing. This was on the pistol brace issue. Steve has this. Let's hear it.
If you would, please describe the law enforcement challenges presented by the prevalence of ghost guns.
Thank you, Congresswoman. And I completely agree with your sentiments and respect how you're lifting up the survivors from your community. I think this is one of the fastest growing threats to public safety in our country, because the untraceable product is the dream of gun traffickers and prohibited people who want to acquire easy to make guns with no record and no background check. I think, you know, we heard a suggestion that these are incredibly difficult to make. They're hunks of metal. That's not the case at all. These are readily converted by just about anyone. And building a ghost gun from the parts that these companies are selling is as close to gunsmithing as making a Lego set is as close to architectural design.
Oh, for the love. I mean, this, and that's that guy from Everytown. He knows that it's Rob Wilcox of Everytown. He knows that they're not one of the quote-unquote fastest growing threats to public safety. I mean, that's not at all supported in any way by publicly available crime statistics, which track what the manner of instrument used in terms of carrying out killing, murdering someone. It's not even remotely that. Barron Arms had a very good piece where they looked at, like, there were like a couple of cases in DC, and you're talking out of thousands upon thousands of, you know, people who are prohibited possessors. It's not. They just like to use this to fearmonger. They want, and they realize that everything that they're claiming here is wholly unsupported by criminal statistics, which is why they're gaslighting over time to try to mislead people on this. I really hope at some point, and this is one of the things I've been pressing, you know, if I see lawmakers at events or something, I always try to bring this up in conversation. What angers me is these bureaucratic agencies who create rules that you're expected to follow as law until there is some sort of legal action to repeal the rule. But then it does nothing for the time spent following it as law. And it doesn't matter if it's a firearm issue or anything else. That's just the variable. This is the CDC, it's the EPA, it's the ATF. It's all of these different bureaucratic agencies. So you have, for instance, the pistol brace rule, which is goofy. It's goofy to even have this. There's no problem with it. There's tons of them out there. That's not the problem is that the pistol brace is something that is used for, you're talking about using it with rifles. This is, we're talking illegally obtained handguns on the black market that drives the homicide rate. There's not even a comparison. So the whole, you know, stabilizing braces and all of this stuff, an example of the rule that has to be followed is law. When I was at SHOT Show, when we were there in Vegas in February. On the lower levels, you have all these mom and pop shops, these manufacturers. And some of them, you know, do firearms. Some of them do accessories like these stabilizing braces, which I will note were first initially devised to help those who had disabilities. And or any kind of, you know, difficulty with, like, you know, muscle strength. There's a whole bunch of reasons, but it was for people with disabilities. And there were all of these shops that, because of the ATF's rule, they had to actually put a stop on their production, and they couldn't even have them out to take orders from vendors at SHOT Show. And what gets me is when I went up to the ATF and I was trying to ask them questions, and they were actually, one of the agents was really smarmy and put up the finger every time he mentioned Trump and all this other stuff, which was really ridiculous. I went up there with Lauren Boebert. they had sent a letter to all of these people not long ago saying that they had, the ATF did, saying that they had no reason to worry about this a criminalization of either making or possessing these stabilizing braces. And then out of nowhere, they changed their mind and then they send a letter out after they told everyone they were fine to make, fine to possess. They changed their mind based on nothing. And I read the rule. It was like 200 some odd pages. I read every page and it was poorly crafted. It included a bunch of BS vagary. There was no grandfathering in for anything with anybody that had any kind of disability that might require them to use something like a stabilizing brace. I mean, it was purposefully designed to criminalize everybody. And yet they get to pass this as a rule and everybody has to follow it as a law or risk what? Prosecution until it's repealed. So what in the hell is Congress doing? This is where I want to see Republicans step up a little bit more. Why are these agencies allowed? Yes, they say that the rule isn't law. Yeah, but you're expected to follow it as a law. You're penalized for it as though it's already law. So where are the people in Congress? What are they doing to prevent people from being punished by a rule that isn't a law, but treated as a law and prosecuted as such? Do you see my point? They skip a whole, that's why the whole bump stock thing went to the circuit court and was overturned, because they ignored congressional oversight. But do you all remember how long that took? That whole process? How long people waited and had to get rid of stuff and all this? So why are they allowed to have that fait accompli, this period, this gray area before it's repealed? That needs to stop. Nothing should be treated as a law unless Congress determines it to be so. That's where these agencies wield way too much power and they have way too little oversight. I'm glad that there's a hearing right now. But I need to see more, especially from Republicans in Congress. I want to see more from them on this. What are they going to do to protect law-abiding Americans from being turned into felons because they legally purchased legal-to-own products? And that's what aggravates me. Because that needs to happen immediately. So that hearing's going on right now. We'll keep an eye on it as well. But this plus the TikTok situation. And then, of course, I have some other audio that I really, really, really want to play. And I just don't. This is why every time I hear audio from Biden, I always think there's no way they're going to run this guy. There's no way they can run this guy. Audio soundbite 12, if you will, because this was just wild. There was a series of these. Listen.
This is a time for celebrating extraordinary women who've made their mark in history, strengthen our nation. And like Jill, the first lady, the first full-time lady, the first lady who works full-time.
What?
In addition to being the first lady.
The first full-time lady? So she's like is he trying to argue that the others were part-time dudes? I don't know. What does that mean? I'm confused. Oh, and then there's also audio soundbite 14. Oh boy. Oh, boy.
We were talking inside. Jill has, and I think I told Nancy this before, Jill has put messages on my mirror where I'm shaving, so I make sure I see them. And one that was put in about a year ago was, stop trying to make me love you.
What the hell?
That's like what a kidnap E would write or something. I don't know. That's weird. I don't get these two. We got more to come.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays noon to 3 p.m. Eastern time.
And thank you also to President Biden. You can judge a strong man when he has strong women around him. The first second gentleman of the United States of America.
Just laughs hysterically. It is a little disconcerting when she does that. It's a cackle. Yeah, it's a cackle. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. And don't forget, sign up for the newsletter, chapter and verse, all kinds of good stuff coming out for you, as well as the regular email prep, my prep that I use. I always make sure to send that out. And I will. I'm not going to forget. I'll show you my insane bookshelves. I am going to have to like tidy them up a little bit because sometimes they're just haphazardly stuck in there. And I was thinking about this and I'm like, I don't know why I do this, but sometimes I'll pull a book for referential material and I'll shove it back in and I don't even put it up properly where it's the spine. I just shove it in there. So it's like, I don't know, guys. It's chaos. People who are probably OCD or who'd like things very neat and tidy would have a serious major problem with my bookshelves. So anyway, I will make you can find all kinds of stuff up there. And don't forget to find us on YouTube. That's where we have the archive of all the stuff for the simulcast, which is basically the video component of the radio program. And you can see our discussions with our guests and all of that stuff up there. Now, tomorrow, we got some cool stuff because John Wick is in theaters at midnight tonight. I am so excited about this film. And one of the people that is going to be joining me on my program tomorrow, somebody that I followed for a really long time, and it's kind of like a bucket list for me to go out to Simi Valley. I know, California. It's the only time I'm ever going to say this. Although, I don't know how that would work with all the new laws that they've passed, because I can't just like borrow a gun, and none of my stuff is legal out there. I don't have a gun, except maybe some of my old stuff. I think I have like an old Mauser that might be.
Revolver?
Yeah, I got a revolver. I got some revolvers. But other than that, you know. Anyway, but Taron Butler, who does Taron Tactical. It's an amazing range and he does all kinds of stuff. He does, he kits out guns like the Combat Master stuff and all that. Anyway, he is the weapons trainer for Keanu Reeves. And he did all the gun fu in John Wick. Yep. And he's done the gun fu in a lot of other films, too. It's almost at the point where if I'm watching, like, John Krasinski, for instance, I'm watching him. I'm like, he trained with Taron. There's like a fluidity that's there in terms of the way they move. It's like wushu gun fu. I don't know how to say it. It's just very cool. But I'm fascinated because he got he's like Hollywood's range. Right? I think he's maybe the last. Yeah. I don't know. We're going to talk to him tomorrow, so you don't want to miss that. All right. Today in Stupidity, Kane, what do we got?
All right. It's KJP. When asked by Peter Ducey of Fox on the records that have been obtained now by the House Oversight Committee that Biden family members were paid indirectly by the Chinese energy company, this is her response.
House Oversight says they've got bank records showing a Chinese energy company paying three Biden family members through a third party. What were they paid for?
Look, I'm just not going to respond to that here. Look, we have heard from House Republicans for years and years and years how the inaccuracies and lies when it comes to this issue. And
lies?
I don't even know where to begin.
Okay,
We have the documents.
We have.
And he admitted that's his laptop. Where are the lies?
Stop being stupid.
Yeah, folks, that does it for us today. Tomorrow's Friday. Let's finish out the week strong together. I'll be back with you then. Make sure you visit Substack, Chapter and Verse, YouTube, Facebook, like and subscribe. God bless. Back with you tomorrow.